Well, this morning, we are going to wrap up the book of Acts. So, take your Bibles. If you have the pew Bible, you'll see that that begins on page 1744. We'll be looking at the last half of chapter 28, verses 17 through 31. Then we'll have to see next week what the pastor has for us for a new study. Acts 28, verses 17 through 31. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking about this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement: "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Thank you. Again, good morning and welcome to visitors. Nice to have you with us this morning. And also those listening by radio and internet on WLPV 107.9, welcome. This message is coming to you from the First Baptist Church in Coleraine. You'll find us on Foundry Village Road. And the service is at 11 o'clock. And Sunday school for all ages at 9:45. We learned last week, the first half of this chapter 28, the book of Acts, which is the final chapter. So I don't know when we started. I'll have to ask Sean when we actually started. He will know, because he's the one that does the recordings. But it's been a tremendous blessing to me having to study this, and I hope it has been for you too. So we're going to, Lord willing, finish today this book of Acts 28. We learned last week that Paul was involved in a shipwreck along with 276 souls that were saved from this shipwreck that had been battered by a fierce hurricane. They were stuck fast on a sandbar some distance away from the shore, and a lot of them that could swim made it to shore. There's used planks or whatever the case may be in order to... Not one soul was lost, which Paul predicted. Not one of them would be lost. And they landed on the island that we know to be Malta. It's still there today. And by the way, the bay where Paul and his crew landed that day, it's still called St. Paul's Bay. So if you ever visit Malta, that's where you'll probably land, St. Paul's Bay. The inhabitants of the island were very friendly. They weren't hostile at all. They even started a fire on the beach to try to warm up these survivors from this shipwreck. They were all cold. They didn't want hypothermia setting in and dying. And Paul, having a good work ethic, he also got about picking up sticks and tried to throw them on this fire. But amongst those sticks was a poisonous viper. And this viper latched onto his hand. And the inhabitants of the island knew that this viper was poisonous and deadly. And they were just watching Paul, waiting for him to swell up and die. But he didn't. They believed that he was a god. You know, one minute they said, well, he must be a murderer. He's getting his just desserts. That God is really punishing him for his past sins, and he's going to die. So they're just watching him. But of course, he didn't die. He was an apostle, and they were able to drink poison and be bitten by vipers and all kinds of things. And this just verified the fact that he was an apostle. He was a special servant of the living God. We no longer have apostles. We talked about that last week. Paul used his apostolic gifts to heal many people on that island, including the son, the father of the headman, who was sick with a high fever and dysentery. And when word got out, all people that were sick had ailments, they came from that island to be healed by Paul. And I'm sure a lot of them were not only healed physically, but healed spiritually, that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the apostolic gifts of these first century apostles was that they were able to speak in tongues. That means they could speak in any known language on the face of the earth with no problem. I wish I had that gift when I was in Papua New Guinea, because it took me 7 years to learn that language. I wasn't probably not that good at it either, just scratching the surface. You know, it's not like these Tarzan movies where they just say Ungawa, Ungawa, you know, and then everyone knows what you're talking about. No, they may be primitive, but they've got a very extremely complicated language. And when the Lord confused the language at the Tower of Babel, he did a tremendous job. Like he always does, amen. So now, between verses 17 and 20, Paul, as soon as he arrived in Rome, he got about doing what he'd been saved to do, and that's the Lord's work. He was provided a home. I think it was quite a big house because he had a lot of visitors, which we'll find out about in a minute. And it says that he had to rent the house. I'm sure some Christians in Rome and other people, they would have supported his ministry and paid the rent while he was there. And he didn't just sit on his laurels, so to speak. He got about doing the Lord's work. Just after 3 days of arriving in Rome, he got about doing the Lord's work and sent word out to all the Jewish leaders in the synagogues in Rome. Doesn't tell us how many there were, but under the Emperor Claudius, the Jews were thrown out of Rome, but now we're under the emperorship of Nero, and they were allowed to come back. So there was quite a lot of functioning synagogues, a lot of Jews in Rome at that time, and Paul sent word for them to come to his house, not to party, but to parley. All right, not to party, but to parley. You know what that means, to parley? To have a meeting, to get together. This just shows that Paul just didn't let the grass grow under his feet. He could have just relaxed and, you know, put his feet up and waited for the trial before Caesar, being a Roman citizen. He was he appealed to Caesar to state his case before the emperor. But instead, he wanted to reach his own people. Paul was Jewish through and through, but he was a saved Jew. He was a completed Jew. And he wanted his fellow Jews to be saved also. And many of them were saved. And he sent for all these Jewish leaders to come. And he got to work. He just didn't sit around doing nothing. He knew his time on earth was running out, which it was. He didn't have many years left, maybe 3 more years to function on this earth as a servant. And his time was limited, just like us. Our time is limited, and we need to be about our Father's business, just like Jesus Christ did. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, tells us that we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to be about the Lord's work, the Lord's service. So that's what Paul did. So after these Jewish leaders arrived at Paul's house, he explained to them his ancestry, the reason why he was under house arrest in Rome at this rented house. Being a Roman citizen, he had these privileges. He wasn't banged up in a smelly, cold dungeon somewhere in Rome. He had a nice house to live in, and he had the freedom to share and preach the gospel and have as many visitors as he wanted. So that was a tremendous opportunity that he took to proclaim the gospel. And you say in verse 20 there, what did Paul preach? Well, he preached Jesus Christ, obviously. But let's have a look at verse 20. And Paul says, for this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain while he's a prisoner of Caesar. The hope of Israel. What is the hope of Israel? The hope of Israel that Paul is referring to is he's proclaiming Jesus Christ as the Messiah, whom the Jews, and many of them today, are still waiting for the Messiah to come and set up his earthly kingdom. Jesus has already been, but he will return again, and one day he will set up his kingdom, but not yet. That's what the hope of Israel is, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus Christ is not only the hope of Israel, he's the only hope for the entire population of the world. Amen? Being crucified, being put in a tomb, and rising again from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive. He's not a dead prophet. He is God and rose again from the dead. Now, what was these leaders' reaction when Paul told them that Jesus is the Messiah whom they'd been waiting for? Verses 21 and 22. The reaction of these leaders of the Jews, some was favorable, some not so. He explained why he was there in Rome. He said he'd done nothing wrong. He hadn't broken any laws. And he wanted his fellow Jews to believe like he did. He'd been accused by the Jews, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, falsely accused. And they said, we'd never even heard of you. We don't know anything about your case. We haven't heard from people in Jerusalem. We have no idea what this is all about and why you're here. Who are you? So what they did know was that he was a Christian. He'd become a Christian. And they referred to it as a sect, an heretical group, in their opinion, what we know to be Christianity. And they'd heard about this sect, but they didn't really understand what it was all about. And they had the person right there before them to explain exactly what Christianity was all about. And they promised to return to the house of Paul, and he would explain to them what Christianity was all about. And Christianity is all about Jesus Christ and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You should. In fact, if you don't, then you're lost in your trespasses and sins and will go to a lost eternity unless you receive Christ as your personal Savior and have that relationship that God wants you to have so you can be saved from your sins. The wages of sin is death. That's the consequence of the sins that we commit. That's the bad news, but there's good news. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So in verse 23, Paul teaches and preaches to these Jewish leaders. They all, the ones that came initially, they promised to come back. They did, and they brought a lot of people with them that were curious to find out about this sect, or Christianity as we know it today. Paul didn't disappoint. He took every opportunity to preach the gospel to these Jewish people who he desired to get saved. He desired above all things for his fellow Jews to be saved, just like he was. And it says in verse 23 that he explained, let's read it. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day. They came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. And from morning to evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus Christ from the law of Moses and from the prophets. That's what Paul did, from morning to night, explaining to them. He explained to them, he declared the kingdom of God. He preached the gospel. He tried to convince them about Jesus Christ from the Old Testament, the law of Moses and the prophets. It all talks about, refers to Jesus Christ. This is what every teacher and every preacher and every born-again believer should be doing amongst our fellow human beings that don't know Christ. We should explain who Jesus is. We should declare the gospel. And we should aim to try to convince them, to convince unbelievers about who Jesus Christ is. Not only from the New Testament, but also from the Old Testament. The question is, would we be able to explain about Jesus Christ, not only from the New Testament, like the Romans wrote, but also from the Old Testament? And if you want a couple of chapters to refer to, especially if you come into contact with people, Jewish people, and occasionally I do, like doctors and dentists, I refer to Psalm 22 and also Isaiah 53, and it clearly talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, they may not believe the New Testament, but they certainly believe the Old Testament. And Paul was a Jewish scholar. He was able to explain clearly to these Jewish people that Jesus Christ is the hope of Israel and Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And quite a few of them, thank God, were saved amongst that group that came there that day. Some believed. It's just like the world today, you know. You get some people that believe, and then you get some people, the majority of people, do not believe. And if they did, all these pews would be full. They'd be queuing up to get in here. It's just the minority that believe. The majority are on the broad road that leads to destruction. But God is not willing that any of them should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But few of us are on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. Paul knew the law of Moses by heart. Remember, before he became a Christian, He was a high-ranking Jewish religious leader on the council, the Sanhedrin. He was schooled by the best and the greatest of all Jewish scholars, Gamaliel. So he was no slouch regarding the Old Testament. He knew it by heart. Paul was able to clearly explain to these Jewish religious leaders in Rome, to convince them from the Old Testament scriptures that they believed that Jesus is the Messiah. What was the result? Some of the group believed. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Others, unfortunately, did not believe. They were not convinced. They argued, that oftentimes people will do that. They disagreed, and they didn't stay long at Paul's house. They left, disgusted. Didn't want anything to do with it. Some things never change, do they? Still many skeptics and scoffers today. We shouldn't be surprised. When confronted with the truth, when you try to explain the gospel, you try to convince them of the gospel, you try to declare the gospel about Jesus Christ and him being the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes unto the Father but by him. They argue, they disagree, they're skeptical, and they leave. That's what these people did that day. Some people believe the gospel when they hear it because their hearts are open and their hearts are pliable to receive the gospel when the gospel is preached. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's why it's important to tell people from the word of God who Jesus Christ is. That's why we've been given the commission as the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God could have declared any way that he wanted to these tribal groups that have never heard the gospel about Jesus Christ. He could have written it in the clouds or done any other method he could have done, but he uses people to go to these places and to go to Korain or wherever the case may be and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ through the word of God. This is how people get saved. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Many believed, many didn't that day. It must have been a big house, a lot of people in that house that day. And the ones that left, Paul kind of gives them what we would call a parting shot in verse 25. They disagreed amongst themselves. This is the Jews that were there that day in his house. They were arguing amongst themselves. The ones that believed, the ones that didn't believe, saying, come on, you can't possibly believe this fellow Paul. Who does he think he is anyway? They disagreed amongst themselves, and they began to leave after Paul had made his final statement. And he says, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet. They were hard-hearted. God can't help them. They're too skeptical. They didn't believe. They began to leave after Paul made his final statement, which we can read about there. This is probably one of Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of the Acts of the Apostles, who also wrote the book of Luke, Gentile. He was with Paul in Rome. He was in that shipwreck with Paul. He wrote his biography that we can read today. He supported Paul while he was a prisoner in Rome. He stuck with him by his side. And here, we've noticed as we've been studying through the book of Acts, Luke does a lot of understating. He doesn't over-exaggerate anything. And this is probably one of his understatements. And these people were most likely very argumentative scoffers. And instead of just leaving, they probably just really stormed out and were furious Paul when he quoted from one of their own prophets, Isaiah, taken from chapter 6, Isaiah, or Isaiah, if you call him. Chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, I'll quote verse 26. Look, he's talking about them. Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. In other words, turn to repent, to change their minds about who Jesus Christ is and what he's done on the cross to save them from their sins. But their hearts are hardened. They were really annoyed with Paul when he gave them this parting shot and reminded them that these verses are referring to his own people, the Jews. That they were especially annoyed when he gave them this final parting shot in verse 28. He says, therefore, having quoted Isaiah, therefore I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. So they didn't want to listen. Some of them did get saved. And for those people in Rome that were non-Jews, many came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, not only in Rome, but throughout the whole world. And this is why we're here, because the gospel has been claimed throughout the then known world and is still being proclaimed throughout the world today, not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, because whether you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, you're still a person, and God loves people, and he wants every single person to be saved. So let's just wrap this up. What happened to Paul after all this while he was in Rome? Well, I know Luke doesn't go into great detail, and it's kind of cut off somewhat. It says for 2 whole years, verse 30, Luke says, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who came to see him. Obviously, he had the gift of hospitality. And what else did he do in verse 31? He boldly and without hindrance, that means he had total freedom to proclaim the gospel, boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God, and he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he did for 2 whole years while he was in Rome. We don't have a lot of information about really what happened from Luke after this. We do know that Paul stayed in Rome for 2 years. Many visitors, complete freedom to preach the gospel, which he did. And even some Roman soldiers that were guarding him also became believers. Imagine being chained to the Apostle Paul. What's he going to do? Talk about the weather? Obviously, he's going to share the gospel with them. And I'll turn quickly. You don't need to do it. You can write it down or memorize it. In Philippians chapter 4, just to verify that statement that I just made, that some of these Roman soldiers became believers too. Paul, at the end of the book of Philippians that he wrote from Rome, while he was chained up there in his house, under house arrest, he said, greet all the saints. Are these dead? How can you greet them if they're dead? Saints are alive. Look at it. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. Unless they're ghosts, how can you greet them? Saints are alive. The brothers who are with me send greetings. That would include Luke, a number of other people. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Yeah, many soldiers, Roman soldiers, became believers because of Paul's Christian witness. All right. From church history, we do know that people like Eusebius and Clements, first century saints, written biographies regarding Paul. After he spent 2 years in Rome, that Luke verifies here in his biography, he was released, they claim, which is not surprising because there was no witnesses to accuse him from Jerusalem. The Jews in Rome had never heard of him. Plus the fact that he'd broken no Roman laws. So him being a Roman citizen, he was released. It wasn't even necessary for him to stand before Emperor Nero. He had better things to do. And that was Nero, Emperor Nero. Many scholars believe that Paul, he didn't stay in Rome for long, but continued on his travels. And he went, some believe he went back to Jerusalem, visiting the churches he established also in Asia Minor. Others believe that he went to Spain, even as far as Great Britain. But we're not certain. But we do know that he did return to Rome at some point. And unfortunately, he returned when the Emperor Nero went completely mad and he burned the city of Rome, which is an historical fact, and then he blamed the Christians for it. So then there was a massive persecution against the Christians that were in Rome, and many of them died in the Colosseum, used as human torches. Many of them were martyred, eaten by wild animals for the enjoyment of the Roman inhabitants at the time. Many believed even the Apostle Peter was martyred and crucified upside down because he said he didn't want to be crucified like his Lord. He wasn't worthy to be crucified. So he was crucified upside down. And Paul, being a Roman citizen, it was against the law to crucify Roman citizens. So Paul was beheaded. He was beheaded, and that's how he lost his life and became a martyr. What about the letters that he's written? He was in Rome. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He wrote down a few letters. Some we have in our possession today. Galatians, Ephesians, 2 Timothy, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and possibly the book of Hebrews. Some people assume, and I've heard these very eminent preachers on TV that I admire and respect, and they claim unequivocally that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. He may have done, he may not have done. It doesn't tell us. It may well have been Apollos, who was also a scholar, a Jewish scholar, before he became a Christian. We don't know. Possibly Paul did. All those letters, all those books that he wrote. So in those 2 years, he was a very, very busy man. And we do know from this detailed account written by Paul's friend Luke, many interesting and fascinating facts. And they're all irrefutable. He was an eyewitness. From the ascension, we learn from the ascension of Jesus Christ to the founding of the church at Pentecost. The church began at Pentecost. There was no church before Pentecost. The gospel was proclaimed not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. How the church was established throughout the then known world. Churches established through missionary endeavor. It teaches about the guidelines to run the church, founded on New Testament church principles. We find about the election of deacons for the first time. How many miracles that were performed in the first century. Thousands and thousands of people that were saved, but at a very high cost. The lives of all the apostles. The only one that probably died natural causes was John on the island of Patmos when he was exiled. Wrote the book of John, also 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. But all the other apostles, including Paul, were put to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. The greatest apostle of them all was probably Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. He called himself the least of all the apostles. He called himself the chief of sinners. What does that say about the rest of us? If the Apostle Paul calls himself the chief of sinners, Jesus loves sinners. He does. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. He suffered terribly, did Paul. We've learned about that in his life story here. How he was flogged, how he was whipped, how he was beaten, how he was stoned, left for dead. And he ran the race till the end. We could say that about Rallo, Kinsman. I'll say it tomorrow. He ran the race in the Lord's service till his dying breath. And Paul received his reward from the one that once he hated Jesus Christ. He persecuted Christians even unto death. But then once he got saved, he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, served him faithfully for the rest of his entire life, and then gave his life in his majesty's royal service. And when we get to heaven, we're going to meet Paul. We're going to meet him. We're going to see him and all the other saints that have gone before. Ed and Rallo are up there together. They're just waiting for us to join them. And they're with the ones that have preceded us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the attentiveness of your people here. We thank you for this book of Acts, a true biographical account written by Luke's faithful friend, a Gentile, Dr. Luke. And they're up there together, praising and worshiping you, along with Ed and Rallo and others that have gone before. And let us redeem the time that's left to us to proclaim, declare, convince people about who Jesus Christ is through the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And there may be somebody here today who's never received you. They've heard the gospel maybe a number of times. But we just pray, Lord, that their hearts wouldn't be hardened. Their hearts would be open. Their ears would have been opened to receive your word, to believe by faith that Jesus Christ loves them because they're a sinner. He died on the cross, take away their sins, took the punishment that they deserve because of the sins that they've committed. He did that for them because he loves them. He died for them. And then he rose again from the dead, after being in the tomb for 3 days, and is alive. And those that call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, shall be saved. And all they need to do is say, Lord Jesus, I believe the word that's come down from your servant this morning. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, that he rose again from the dead. So I receive you now as my personal Savior. And I thank you in his name. Amen. Amen.